If you're online, you probably already heard Gary. So can you do that again, Gary, for us?
Good morning.
Okay, just so the people online can hear you. Man, I'm so glad you guys are here. If you're online, I'll just let you know that there are just a few people in the room. We've got a small studio audience in the room as we're kind of practicing getting ready to regather. I'll tell you a little bit more about that at the end of our worship gathering. But just to say right up here at the front, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers that are here today, and to celebrate some new, well, they're not new mothers, but Stephanie and Ross Van Dyke had their baby this week, so we want to celebrate that with them. And I told you guys last week that Clay and Sarah had their baby. We've got a meal train up on the Hub City Facebook page, so if you want to sign up to take meals to Clay and Sarah, that would be fantastic as well. Just a way for us to serve them in the middle of all that's going on with a new baby in the middle of a pandemic, right? So before I jump in to what we're going to talk about today, I just want us to pray a prayer we've been praying throughout this series. It's a prayer where you repeat after me. Just a simple prayer to prepare your hearts and your minds for what God has to say to us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, open my heart. Open my ears. Give me the ability to understand. Help me to hear from you. I know you have something you want to say to me. In Jesus' name, amen. I got to say, I'm glad you guys are online, but it's really cool to actually have real people. I know Trey and Gary are real people, but just other people besides Trey and Gary that I'm talking to live. That's really, really cool. So I want to begin. I want to say something a little tongue-in-cheek, and I want to tell you as tongue-in-cheek so that you're not like offended right at the beginning and you like sign off or whatever. But what if I were to say, you know what, guys? I've got good news. I have a solution to the problem that we're in. I know exactly what it is that we need to do to get out of this mess that we're all in. I know what the government's doing right. I know what the government's doing wrong. And if President Trump and Governor McMaster and really every other leader that's out there would just listen to me, I could solve our problems. I could get us back to how things used to be. I could make things back to normal. And guess what? Everybody would be happy if you would just listen to me. Now, if I were to say that, some of you would say back to me, whoa, 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 time out, Jonathan. I've got a plan on what needs to be done to fix things. Like I have an opinion about what needs to happen. People need to listen to me. I don't care what you have to say because I have something that needs to be done. Well, the truth is, all of us have an opinion about what is going on and an opinion about what needs to be done. And some of our opinions have some truth in them, and some of them may be more valid or more valuable than others. But if we're all honest, I think we'd all admit that part of our opinions might be a little short-sighted because we're not as informed as we think we are a lot of times. And the reason why that's true is because even though all of us have an opinion, if you're like me, you're having a hard time figuring out what to believe. Like you read one thing in one article and then you read another article and it says the exact opposite, right? Like it's really, really hard to know what is true. It's really hard to know who to believe, right? I mean, do we trust this news person or do we trust the president or do we trust the conspiracy theorists or do we trust our mom? Do we trust our brother-in-law who has never trust your brother-in-law? But who do we trust? We just are unsure. And that's because there's all this information out there and we're not sure what of that information is true. So we're left asking this question, who do we believe? What's true, and how are we supposed to know, or who are we supposed to trust in the midst of all that's going on? And here's something that maybe you've never thought of before that I think is pretty profound, and that is that when we're not sure who to trust, when we're not sure who to believe, do you know who we trust more than anybody else? We trust ourselves. Like we have a tendency to trust ourselves and our own opinions more than other people's opinions when we're not sure what's true. Like we have this thing in us that says, you know what? I'm smarter than everybody else. Like we think we're smarter than we really are. We may even go so far as to think of ourselves as experts. I posted something on Facebook that Randy said in his hub group this past week, that we have a tendency as Christians to feel like we have to be experts at everything. But when you look at the New Testament, what you discover is the Christians, the leaders who are leading this movement that turned the world upside down, they were experts at one thing, the gospel. They weren't experts in anything else. But we as Christians, for some reason, we feel like we have to be experts at everything. And when it's hard to know who to trust or who to believe, well, of course, we feel like we need to be the ones that are experts because we trust ourselves more than maybe we should. Well, the question is, when everybody out there has an opinion, because if I were to sit down across the table with you and say, hey, what do you think's going on? What do you think we should do? You would share with me your opinion, right? Since everybody has an opinion, and since everybody seems to think that they're experts or they're self-proclaimed experts, and since all of us, it appears, want to share our opinions and our expertise, whether it's right or wrong, the question that those of us who are Christians should be asking is this: what should I say? What should I say as a Christian? I know I have opinions, and I know more about certain things than other people, but in light of all that's going on, and in light of all the misinformation, and in light of trying to figure out what's true and who to believe and who to trust and all that, what should I say as a Christian? Because the truth is, we as Christians, a lot of times, are known for saying really dumb things. Like, we stick our foot in our mouths a lot of times. We believe things that are blatantly false a lot of times. It's crazy what we can get ourselves in trouble with by saying with our mouths. So what should we as Christians say? Well, we've talked about this before, but when you look through the Bible, one thing you discover is that the Bible has a lot to say about what we say. Realize that? The Bible has a lot to say about what we say. We've looked at this verse out of Ephesians before. We're going to put it up on the screen. But Ephesians 4:29 tells us this: do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it might benefit those who listen. Now, when you think about that passage, basically Paul tells us that whatever comes out of your mouth needs to be wholesome, helpful, and beneficial. So if you want to know what to say, you need to have those parameters around what you say. It needs to be wholesome, it needs to be helpful, and it needs to be beneficial. There's another passage we've looked at before out of the book of James, James 1:19. And James, the half-brother of Jesus, says this: everyone, that would be all of us, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. To which we would go, whoa, didn't you get that mixed up, James? I mean, aren't we supposed to be quick to speak? We'll listen later on, but we want to speak first. But James is like, no, your first response should be to listen. And in fact, you should listen more than you speak. As you've heard before, that's why God gave you two ears and one mouth, right? We should listen first. We should listen more than we speak. We should be slow to speak. We should be slow to become angry. Well, those are really great verses. I love those verses. But what I want us to look at this morning is a psalm that has really been my go-to passage of scripture for the past couple of months as we've been going through all of this. I keep coming back to this psalm over and over and over again. And it's not a psalm that tells us necessarily what we're supposed to say. It's a psalm that tells us how to prepare ourselves and position ourselves under God's authority before we say anything. Because before we get to what we're supposed to say, there's something else that we need to do to kind of prepare our hearts and our minds. Something else that we need to do before we open our mouths. It's found in Psalm 131. So if you have your Bible, you can open up to Psalm 131. We're going to put the verses up on the screen. And it's only three verses. So I want to read through the whole psalm first, and then we're going to come back through it and break it apart a little bit at a time. But the psalmist says this: Lord, my heart is not proud. My eyes are not haughty. I do not get involved with things too great or too difficult for me. Instead, I've calmed and quieted myself like a little weaned child with its mother. I am like a little child. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. I think maybe for the past 20 years, I've just been coming back to this psalm over and over again. It's so meaningful to me. I want to kind of just tell you why it's meaningful to me and why I think that you need to take what this psalm says and maybe put it into practice before you let anything come out of your mouth. But he starts off in verse 1 by saying, Lord, my heart is not proud. My eyes are not haughty. Like, it begins right here at the front. at the beginning of the psalm with this declaration to God of humility. The psalmist declares to God that they're humbling themselves. And some of you are like, well, what does that mean that my eyes are not haughty? Because we don't speak in those terms. I don't know when the last time you used the word haughty was. But really what that means is that we look down on others with disdain. To be haughty or to have eyes that are haughty mean that you look down on others with disdain. How many of you have heard or seen anybody looking down on others over the past couple of months? I mean, it happens all the time. Maybe you're guilty of that as well. But that's, the psalmist here declares right up front, my heart is not proud. My eyes are not haughty. I do not look down on others with disdain. Well, the truth is, this is where a lot of us struggle, right? All of us, I think, struggle with pride to one degree or another. Pride, as C.S. Lewis says, is the root of all sin. And all of us kind of have this idea that we're better than we are, we're smarter than we are, that we're better than other people, and we seem to look down on other people who don't seem to agree with us. But this psalm reminds us that we need to regularly humble ourselves. We need to regularly reposition ourselves to realize that we're not as smart as we think we are, and that maybe even though others disagree with us, we're not to look down on them because maybe they have something valuable to say and we're missing it, right? In fact, the other day, I was kind of, you probably don't do this, but I was venting my frustrations with all that's going on to Liz, and Liz looked at me kindly and said, you know, you sound kind of arrogant, which is... It's a great marriage, you know, thing to say. But the truth was she was right. You know, I was really coming across as kind of arrogant. And I think all of us are doing that to a degree at times, especially when we reach the peak of our frustration and things aren't working like we want them to do. So we need to remind ourselves, as the psalmist reminds us, Lord, my heart is not proud and my eyes are not haughty. But then he goes on and says this. I love this next little sentence. I do not get involved with things too great or too difficult for me. I do not get involved with things too great or too difficult to me. This statement right here has been the most powerful and freeing statement in this entire psalm for me over the past few months. And here's why. There's so much that I don't understand and that I can't figure out. Like I said earlier, we're not sure who to trust. We're not sure who to believe. We're not sure what to believe. And everybody's got a pit, everybody has an opinion, but it seems like everybody only sees a little bitty part of the picture. And I know I only see a little bitty part of the picture. And I think that if we were honest, and I think we as Christians more than anybody else should be honest, we would admit that there are parts to this crisis, things that are related to this crisis, that are really too great and too difficult for any of us to understand completely. Well, since that's the case, the psalmist reminds us that I'm not going to get involved with those things. I'm not going to get involved with things that are too great or too difficult for me. That should be a challenge for all of us, right? Because a lot of times we find ourselves stepping into something and we think we know something, but we really don't know as much as we think we know, right? Like Randy said, we feel like we've got to be experts at everything. When really the only thing that we need to be experts in as followers of Jesus is the gospel, the good news about Jesus. And right here, this psalmist says, I don't get involved with things too great or too difficult for me. I don't get involved with things that I can't control. That's our problem, right? We want to control things. We want to control the situation. But this tells us that we don't get involved with things that are out of our control, that we can't control. Instead, we need to focus on what we can control, which is what the rest of the psalm is all about. Look at verse 2. Instead of being prideful, instead of looking down on others, instead of getting involved with things that are too great or too difficult for me, instead I have calmed and quieted myself. The NIV says, I have calmed and quieted my soul. I've calmed and quieted myself like a little weaned child with its mother. I am like a little child. Instead of getting involved in things that I can't control, what I can control is resting in the peace and presence of God. I can do that. I can rest in the peace and presence of God. And if you're a parent, you've ever held your little child and they're just perfectly content and perfectly relaxed and completely trusting in your arms, That's exactly the picture that the psalmist is painting here. And what's also interesting is this is one of the very few times in Scripture where God is compared to a mother. Which is funny, we're talking about this on Mother's Day, right? We usually think of God as our Heavenly Father, and He is our Heavenly Father, but what's going on right here is the psalmist compares our being with God to a child being with its mother, content and satisfied and at peace and resting. And I think that should be our posture in times of uncertainty, when we can't figure out what's going on. Our position, our posture should not be one of trying to figure things out or trying to act smarter than we really are or being arrogant or prideful, but no, our posture should be one of just resting in the arms of God. I love that picture right there. And then he ends with this command. Israel, which is really God's people. So if you were to put that in New Testament times, it'd be talking to those of us who are Christians. Israel. Put your hope in the Lord, both now and forever. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forever. I mean, I hope you know this, but our hope is not in our circumstances. And our hope is not in what we can control. And our hope is not in what we can understand. And our hope is not in our ability to figure things out. Even though there's something inside of us that wants to figure it out and wants to understand and wants to be in control, that's not where our hope lies. Our hope lies in the Lord. And the psalmist knew that we forget that. That's why this is a command. He wouldn't have had to put this in there if we had a tendency that our first thing that we would do would be to hope in God, right? But that's not what our first tendency is. We hope in everything else, but this psalmist, he commands us to put our hope in the Lord, which is also what I want to say, if you've never put your hope in the Lord, you can do that by surrendering your life to him today. It's as simple as saying, God, I need you. I put my hope in you. So in light of this psalm, I'm going to read it all again. You can go back through it, Trey. Verse 1 says, Lord, my heart is not proud. My eyes are not haughty. I do not get involved with things too great or too difficult for me. Instead, I have calmed and quieted myself. Like a weaned child with its mother, I am like a little child. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forever. In light of that, in light of what this psalm says, the question for us that we need to ask is, what should we say? What should we say in the middle of this crisis? Well, this psalm reminds us that before we say anything, before we open our mouths at all, we need to humble ourselves and acknowledge that there are things that we just don't understand. And we need to rest and hope in the God who knows way more than we do. The God who can be trusted and the God who knows what's going on and knows what the future holds. See, the good news is we don't have to be experts. And we don't have to have all the answers. And even though we have opinions, guess what? We don't even have to add to the noise by sharing them. That's shocking. We don't even have to share our opinions. But the truth is, there is something that we do need to say. In fact, I would go so far as to say that there are some things that in the middle of this crisis, we need to say, that we should be compelled to say, that we must say, that this time that God has placed us in calls for us to boldly say. And for the next few weeks, we're going to look at three of those things that we should be saying right now. But before we get there, we've got to start here. So let me ask you, have you humbled yourself before God? Have you acknowledged to God that you're not going to concern yourselves with matters that are too great or too difficult for you? Are you resting in his presence as a content and peaceful child rests in the arms of his mother? And are you hoping in the Lord? Before we say anything, before anything comes out of our mouth, we need to start there. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to look at this amazing psalm that just reminds us that we don't have to have it all figured out. We don't have to understand everything that's going on. But God, we can trust you and we can put our hope in you because you're the God who knows more than we know and that you're the God who's in control. And so I just want to acknowledge with the psalmist on behalf of the Hub City Church family that our hearts are not proud and our eyes are not haughty. We do not concern ourselves with matters that are too great or too difficult for us. Instead, we have calmed and quieted ourselves like a child with its mother. And God, we declare that our hope is in you and our trust is in you and that we need you. That is really the position I want us to take in before you, God. Thank you for the opportunity to look at this. I know you have something to say to us over the next few weeks about what we say. Prepare our hearts and our minds for that. We love you. We're going to sing you some songs and we're going to worship you with communion, God. I ask that you would be glorified in all of that. In Jesus' name, amen.